in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who sends us the Holy Spirit so that we might live in the truth. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, MTV, back about 13 years ago, had this show. It was really kind of the first real reality television show that we had ever seen in the United States of America. It was loosely based off of something that PBS did back in the 70s, but honestly, who really watches PBS? And so The Real World became the first ever reality television show that all of the United States of America got enthralled with. And everybody began to watch as seven people were put into the same apartment in New York City. And as their little tagline went, we found out what happened when people stopped being polite and started being real. And so as you watched, as the camera switched position from this position and that position, and you had a little confessional booth where people could talk about their own feelings without anybody else hearing them, except for the millions of people that were watching it on television, you got this sense that, well, this is what real life is like. And even today, the genre continues to go on. And in fact, the great granddaughter of The Real World is this thing on MTV that's called True Life. And True Life is a little bit different than The Real World. True Life doesn't take people from diverse backgrounds and put them into the same apartment anymore. Instead, what they do is they just go out and they find people that are dealing with the crucibles of life. And so every True Life episode has a little statement after it. Things like, True Life, I have pushy parents. True Life, I'm a gay athlete. True Life, I have epilepsy. True Life, I'm breaking up with my religion. And they continue to go on this really kind of same trajectory as what The Real World did. Because really what all of these shows invite us to do is to take a look at the reality of these people and then to question our own reality. To take a look at what is happening on the screen and to say, is that real life? And if that is real life, what does that have to say about the real life that I live? And so we get into this weird moment where we begin to compare and contrast our lives with the life that is being presented to us through the television screen. And as we take a look at that life that is being presented to us on the television screen, we begin to start to reflect. And perhaps even we begin to start to think to ourselves that we might repent. Or at least that's the religious word that we would use in the Christian church. But really what that honestly is just changing our lives. So if I watch the person who is breaking up with their religion, does that mean then that, well, maybe I have some of those same feelings, so maybe I should break up with my religion? Or if I'm watching the person who has epilepsy, well, what about their life has something to say with my life where I'm not dealing with epilepsy? And how might I change my life, or how might I just continue to live my life in the way that I have before? Well, in a lot of ways, that is exactly what John presents us here in his gospel as being the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is one where he guides us into truth. Just like the producers and the directors and everybody that stand behind the camera on The Real World and in True Life. You see, those people are the ones that are directing us to that truth that they believe is true, that is true enough for us to consider about the life of those people that when we watch it on the television screen, we might be brought to some revelation, some epiphany of what is actually true. And they do that not through pointing to themselves and saying, I am the director of this program, don't you want to hear what I have to say about how you should live your life? Instead, they point to someone else's story and they say, well, look at this person's story, and through this person's story, then maybe you can consider how to go about living your life, how to go about making your decisions about what is true and what is false. And you can see a lot of times their thumbprint and their fingerprints left in the way that the camera angle cuts, in the way that things are seemingly cut out or things that are left in to that 22 minutes or 44 minutes worth of television show. It's sort of like the fingerprint that you can find in several different directors. I've recently saw the film Noah. And Noah was directed by this guy named Darren Aronofsky. And Aronofsky has a very kind of specific sort of look and feel to his movies, with the way that he uses his camera, the way that he uses special effects. And so since I had watched a lot of other Aronofsky movies like Pi, like Requiem for a Dream, like Black Swan, I sort of knew what that picture of Aronofsky was. And so as I watched Noah, I knew better than to be looking in Noah for the Bible, because it's sort of there. But I definitely knew that as I was watching Noah, that someplace I could find a glimpse of Aronofsky. Now, quite honestly, I have no idea what the man, Darren Aronofsky, looks like. I have no idea. I imagine that he's probably not Asian with that name. But I have no idea what he looks like. I have no idea if he's a blonde or a redhead or a brunette. I have no idea if he's tall or if he's short. But I can tell you to a T when I watch one of his movies, if I watch it all the way through, and in Noah there's this particular little part, this little vignette between scenes where I say, that's Aronofsky. And as that Aronofsky moment begins to appear on the screen, I know that he's trying to highlight whatever that is in his film. That he's trying to bring our attention to that, that he's trying to tell us this is something that is true. And so when Jesus is speaking to his disciples about this gift of the Holy Spirit that is going to come to them after Jesus Christ dies on the cross, he's telling them about this person of the Trinity, this person of the Trinity who acts like one of our movie or television producers or directors acts. That the Holy Spirit himself never wants to be the person who is in the eye of the camera. In fact, this entire sermon series that we're going to be enjoying from today to the next 3 weeks from now, this entire series is going to be called The Bird. And that comes from this interesting discussion that one of our own people here had with somebody who is converting to Christianity. And as they were converting to Christianity, they said, well, I understand the Father and I understand what a son is, but the bird, I don't understand the bird. And how often is that not the reality for us? That, well, we say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we come to this kind of confused state where we go, well, I'm not really sure what the Holy Spirit is all about. I know that he's there, I know that he does stuff, but who is he? And I think what we look for a lot of times is we look for that sort of Aronofsky vignette. We look for something that tells us this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And yet, the work of the Holy Spirit is something that happens throughout our lives. This is something that continues to work in our lives no matter what happens, including cell phones. And as God's work continues to happen in our lives, we begin to get that picture of who the Holy Spirit is. But honestly, since the Holy Spirit is kind of confusing, we just tend to kind of distance ourselves from Him. And we just have this sense of, well, okay, well, I can just push away from this person of God. And Jesus Himself tells us that that is a mistake. That there's this thing called blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that is an absolute sin. For us to push away from the Holy Spirit, for us to not consider who He is and consider Him to be God as well as the Father and the Son. And so as we go through this entire sermon series, we're going to be talking more and more about who this person of the Holy Spirit is and how He works in our lives. But today in our gospel reading, Jesus tells us probably one of the most important things that we need to know as we start on this journey. And that is that the Holy Spirit brings us truth. That the Holy Spirit will guide us into all that is true. I think sometimes we expect the Holy Spirit to guide us into all that is supernatural, into all that is strange, into all that is not normal. In fact, if the Holy Spirit was going to do a reality television show, it would almost be like we would expect that reality television show to be filled with CGI. To be filled with stuff that, well, we don't normally see. Tongues above people's heads and great rushing winds in the middle of a room and people speaking in tongues and everybody understanding what they're saying. Well, we don't quite feel that those things are real. In the same way that we do when we watch The Real World or we watch True Life. And yet, Jesus tells us that what the Holy Spirit brings to us first and foremost is truth. And that truth is the Holy Spirit's camera angle that doesn't direct us to Himself, but directs us to that cross where Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And on a Pentecost Sunday, like today, gave us that gift of truth. That gift that promised to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And as it convicts us, that conviction leads us back every time to the cross. Every time we sin, it leads us back to the cross, where we recognize that our sins were paid on that cross. Every time that we think that we're so doggone righteous, it leads us back to the cross, where we see there a righteousness that we could not fulfill, and only He could fulfill for us. And He convicts us of judgment. That we deserve a judgment for sin, but rather we receive that righteousness that He won for us there. And it's all gift. It's all gift for us to know that truth, to be brought back to that truth time and time again. Time and time again until we are with the one who died on that cross. Time and time again until we are in the resurrection together. Time and time again until we celebrate Pentecost Sunday for an eternity. Time and time again when we say, you had to know this was coming. Ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Amen.